This is the South Florida Tech Podcast, a weekly show where we bring you the awesome, innovative people building our South Florida tech community. Each week, we'll introduce to you one of the Sunshine State's top tech leaders. Learn more about who they are, what they do, and have some fun conversation along the way. Our podcast is presented by Tech Hub South Florida, a nonprofit dedicating to building South Florida into a tech hub, and in partnership with BrainStation. BrainStation is the global leader in digital skills training, offering boot camps and courses in data, design, development, marketing, and product management. They have trained over 100,000 professionals both online and at campuses in New York, London, and Canada.
We have a very special guest with us today. We'll get to him in just a moment. And I'm Michael Fowler. I'm your guest host today. So first time in this seat. So if I make a few mistakes, we'll learn from them. So I'm the chair for Palm Beach Tech, and I'm also the vice president for IT at FPNL. And I have a co-host today. I'll let her introduce herself.
Hey, everyone. My name is Joanna McCullough. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Wingcode Academy, now BrainStation. We were acquired a few months ago. Super excited to be here, as always, with one of the most anticipated and one of my favorite guests already. He hasn't even said a word yet, but he will soon. He's awesome, building South Florida. So really looking forward to the conversation here today.
So let's get into it. Today we have a special guest, John Stecker. John is the CTO of Blackstone, one of the world's leading investment firms, where he's responsible for all aspects of technology across Blackstone, advising both the firm while also being a trusted advisor for the resource portfolio companies they represent. He previously worked in technology leadership positions at Barclays, Goldman Sachs, IBM, and holds a BS in computer science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and an MS in computer science from the University of Minnesota. So that's a pretty impressive list. So we want to know, John, who are you really, though, besides just that?
Awesome. No, first off, happy to be here today. So thank you for inviting me. Happy to be in Miami in general. I'm also super excited that you said I was an awesome guest like 17 times. I get made fun of for using the word awesome way too much. So definitely happy that I'm not the only one that likes to describe things as awesome. So more than happy to be here. Who am I? So number one, I just feel like I'm somebody that's like always been interested in like technology and engineering for my whole life. I mean, from being like a little kid on, I kind of grew up doing a whole bunch of different interesting things at IBM, like you said, and I always had a passion for finance. I just found the finance industry like really interesting. You know, some people find the aerospace industry interesting, the pharma industry interesting. I always like had a massive interest in finance and how it worked. So part of what I enjoyed throughout my career was you grow your base set of skills in computer science, you learn how to program, you learn kind of the way systems and full integrated systems actually work. You can go off and take that knowledge and then apply it to various different domains. And so finance was where I found it was most interesting to apply it. That led me to Goldman, Barclays, and then here. So at Blackstone, like, what do I do? Just to kind of define it, I think of myself as having, it's really like three different jobs kind of on a regular basis. And the main job is actually running technology for the firm. So we have 650 plus super talented, super smart, switched on individuals kind of across the globe. Main US hub being New York. Obviously, we're building out in Miami. We came here before. I would say before Miami was super cool on the tech scene. Back in October last year, we announced we were opening an office down here for a plethora of reasons that we can go through a little bit later on. But lead that kind of group, building everything from what is trading systems on like our credit side of the business, to what are, I would say fairly advanced and interesting like CRMs and like deal management platforms on the private equity and real estate side. And then just like your regular tech that exists inside of any business. So fund finance, your accounting systems, all the rest of that fun and interesting stuff. So definitely like enjoyable job. That's one third of it, I would say. The other one that I find is very interesting and I think is very unique dynamic for people that come and work in technology at Blackstone is, we have Blackstone itself is about 3,400 employees globally. If you look at all the portfolio companies, right, we're north of like 400,000. And they're everything from super tech advanced to, you know, mid-market businesses where they're, you know, building applications and building things that are servicing, you know, I would say smaller businesses across the board. And the technology stacks are, I would say, pretty nascent, or they're using like cloud platforms like Office 365 and the Google Suite that are out there. So it's really like we have a bunch of people that come, or I work with them a lot, their technology teams. It's something where if you work at Blackstone from a technology perspective, you get exposure to a variety of different companies. It was one of the most interesting and enjoyable things I did at IBM, was working with all sorts of companies in different sectors, because you see the way people do stuff and you recognize interesting patterns and they bring them back. So that's like another third of the job. And then the final third of the job is really working with a lot of our investment professionals. And technology is core to every business that we actually work with and either invest in, acquire, or kind of, you know, partner with in some way, shape, or form. And so like actually diligencing and working to figure out like how good is the technology stack, how advanced is it, how much of a moat have they created, is something that we spend a lot of time doing. And so find that very interesting as well. So you take those three aspects of the job, like to me, it was like a no-brainer, like it hit on everything I want to do in the hours I go to work. And so that's why I'm happy at work. Makes it enjoyable to head into the office. That was a long answer for you of who I am and what I do. But.
No, it's so cool. I mean, it's amazing to hear, and Blackstone's a world leader. So super cool to hear all of that. But, you know, Blackstone is, you guys have made some pretty incredible investments, and would love to hear, what are some of those recognizable portfolio companies, and are you all investing in sectors across the board, or are you, you know, gearing down on doubling down on certain sectors, and what are those?
Yeah, so I'm happy to like kind of walk through a couple of them. So in terms of like sectors, we'll start there. It's like Blackstone is, you know, we're like a $600 billion AUM company, and so we're really kind of investing in all sectors is the way to think of it. So everything from, you know, energy to our real estate, or like energy in general, our real estate, you know, a bunch of kind of classic private equities. We have a whole bunch of work that we do in Blackstone Growth. We have our credit business, and we have our BAM business, which is like, you know, fund to fund investing, right? So there's a plethora of like businesses underneath the Blackstone umbrella that are all investing in sectors across the board. So you name it, from a sector perspective, we're involved with it, right? A lot of what I think I would say, like we really focus on is like thematic investing and investing in, you know, like good markets and growing markets. So you can think of e-commerce, and then the e-commerce, you know, trend, and that's across all businesses. E-commerce drives technology investments, right? It drives data investments. It drives real estate investments when you think of like warehouses, because if you're an e-commerce business, you don't have a storefront, you have to store your goods somewhere and then be able to ship it. Yet if you play out the thematics, right, that's kind of the way we think about investing in the firm, which I find like, it's just interesting. It's like a puzzle, right? And you want to figure out, you know, that folks in the US, folks globally are doing certain things, they're interested in certain sectors. It's how can you basically play and invest kind of around that whole ecosystem? So we do a lot of work there. In terms of notable investments, right? We invested in Bumble, Bumble the dating app, which just IPO'd here a little bit ago. So invested in that. Oatly, the oat milk company, which we have across all of our sites, and I drink way too much of now. Ancestry.com. So Ancestry.com was interesting because it was literally, you know, I signed up for an account to track some stuff back, and then it was, you know, a few months later we actually invested and, you know, put a big chunk of money to work in them. So it's another interesting company. Then you go into like, you know, that's the more technology and kind of, I would say, obviously beverage areas. Then you go into like, you know, some of the interesting real estate investments like Great Wolf Lodge. So like water parks, you know, kids love to go to water parks. My kids have been there multiple times. And it's not because it's like I drive them just to the Blackstone properties. It's they actually love the wave pool that's there. So we've been there. And then like Refinitiv, which was a carve out of Thomson Reuters, basically for like their data and kind of financial services business. And then you get into like, you know, another one of my kids' favorites, like Merlin Entertainment, which runs Legoland. So that's they actually think some days that I work at Legoland. They have told me that. And that's makes me cool in their view. So it's not a bad thing. But, you know, companies like that. So it's a broad spectrum of things. And then you get into some of the investments we just did recently. You know, we just did some press around. We invested in a company called Vectra. They do what is like, it's lateral movement detection inside of like your virtual data centers and around Office 365 as a cybersecurity company. So it was, you know, deeply involved and intimately involved in that one. Autobox, which is an endpoint, I think of it as software version control platform, where it goes off, you can scan a bunch of your, you can scan all your infrastructure and then write little scriptlets that basically upgrade the hardware, the software on those systems to make sure everything is as protected as possible. So a whole bunch of stuff in the tech space as well. So the portfolio was very, very big, filled up with interesting companies.
Love it. That's super exciting. And, you know, we, speaking of investing, you know, in a way, Blackstone invested in South Florida and Miami. And I know you have, you all have been working to build a presence and build your technology office here. And we're really proud at Wincode and BrainStation to have been early partners with you guys. We did an awesome event a few months ago about everything you are planning. But since then, Miami, hashtag Miami Tech went really viral. And I want to talk a little bit about South Florida and Blackstone's kind of play, you know, bet on South Florida and why Miami. I mean, I was saying earlier in the green room, either you guys were way ahead of the curve, you knew it was coming, or you were the spark that ignited things. So if we could talk a little bit about why Miami and why Blackstone chose South Florida.
Yeah, no, not an issue. I mean, like, Toronto, we had talked for, I mean, a while before we actually like made the kind of public announcement that we're going to move here. And everything, just like at Blackstone General, did a heck of a lot of research on the like the ecosystem kind of around the city, like the Southeast Florida area. We put a lot of time in there, looked at other places as well. And for the amount of people that we wanted to hire, the skill set that we needed, which was focused around cybersecurity, enterprise technology, and software development, there was really, you know, this place had the highest, I would say, caliber of talent across the spectrum. And when I say the spectrum, it means folks that are graduating from school. So the university system was super strong. We felt that there was a lot of work that we could do with them to kind of integrate and, you know, actually help drive their programs and then have that be like a great feeder for young talent that can come into the firm, learn and kind of launch their careers here. There was great mid-level talent for people that were at companies and, you know, were actually looking to move to their next opportunity that were interested in financial services as well. That was a big plus with the Miami ecosystem is like the interest in not just tech for tech, but like applied technology in financial services or other sectors, right, was higher than what you would find in different areas. And so the financial service bend, like, you know, I don't like we like myself personally, not looking to hire, you know, an engineer that wants to build software that they can sell, because that's, you want to do that, you go to Oracle, you go to Microsoft, you go to a number of different companies that actually sell software, and that is their main business. But if you want to be in financial services and you want to actually build some pretty cool software and interact with like folks in this industry, you know, this was the place, this is the place to be. And so like there's a lot of folks that had, when we kind of interviewed people, that resonated with, and there was like a huge market for those types of people down here. The other thing we found that was like, you know, very interesting to me was asking people in different cities, right? Like if you had your choice of working, where would you want to work? Right? Miami was consistently at like the top of the list. And so to me, it's one of the great cities, kind of like New York. It's something where people want to be in, they want to live in. And so it was an easy way to like actually attract talent. And that's part of, you know, our hiring and the recruiting that we've done is, you know, we've obviously hired a bunch of local folks already, but there's been a lot of people across the globe, across the US that have actually wanted to move to Southeast Florida as well. And so we've been really able to like attract the talent and bring them to kind of the Miami metro area. And so like, if you combine all those things together, great schools, great mid-level people, great interest in finance, that was a lot of like the driving factor. And you know, the reality was, is when we felt like we wanted to hire 200 plus people, it was like, you know, you could fit that into the available talent pool here and we could hire at the very top of the top from like the you know, the qualification perspective. And it's played out well. You know, it's played out better than expectations, I would personally say. So we've been doing great on the hiring front and, you know, kind of establishing our foothold here.
That's awesome.
It's great to hear you recognize the local talent and especially the schools. You know, I think we really do have some world-class schools here that are producing some amazing talent.
Yep. And they've been, I mean, honestly, the schools have been great to work with. Like all of the universities, community colleges around here, you know, have all been, amazingly proactive with reaching out, wanting to get involved, wanting to know, like, you know, how can they actually promote the kids that are graduating from the universities, the folks who are going back to school and going through their universities, right? I mean, that they've been amazing at getting engaged with that. And so that's something that to me is meaningful, because it's this is like a hard industry to be in. It takes a lot of like skill and a lot of, you know, apprenticeship and like knowledge sharing. And so like the fact that the schools want to work with us, that has made it amazing since landing out here. So yeah. Then we had folks like, you know, WinCode back in the day, a bunch of like the alternative kind of code camps and whatnot that we worked with as well. And we're continuing to work with as we kind of build up, because you have to pull people from all different walks of life and to build a good team. And that's, you know, another like theme that we're working on pretty heavily.
I was just going to make a plug for BrainStation, right? Because, you know, it's folks like them in the community that also really help us a lot. And it does take a diverse talent for that. So I looked up, you know, I'm a consumer and I have some holdings. And so mine's doing very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. So how do you think technology changes the folks' lives inside your company? How does technology help the investment firm?
Yeah, I mean, technology to me is like an enabler, right? Like, I think like that's the one thing we all we don't recognize it, but we actually do when you think about it. When you think about how much easier our lives are today than they were 10 years, it's not because somehow we've magically got like 20,000 times smarter, or we're more easily able to navigate the roads than before. I still get lost on a highway, you know, if I'm trying to make a cross-country trip if I don't have my phone. And so when you think of that, like that analogy where, like, you know, your phone and all of the content, really, I mean, it's the global content system that your phone can deliver to you that enhances your knowledge kind of on demand, makes you smarter. And that's a lot of what like we focus on from a technology perspective here at the firm is like, you know, I think we have some of the most amazing people inside of the firm in terms of our investment professionals. They are some of the smartest folks that I've ever worked with in my life. And what you want to do is figure out how do you build technology that continually augments that, right? So like you can take in, synthesize more data, help them make decisions quicker. You can help, you know, manage like contacts better. You can actually like diligence investments and make sure you're helping out with like the investment thesis from like an actual like engagement perspective. So there's a ton of things that I think, you know, technology really can do. I think the biggest thing is it just makes our folks like smarter on a daily basis.
Yeah, it is a really great, awesome, intelligent and also funny team from everyone who I've met at Blackstone literally in South Florida, which is great. There's been so much advancement in technology. It's not only changing the technology we use, but also the ecosystems we operate in. And obviously you operate in the world of investment and finance. And I'm curious to hear how you see AI and machine learning impacting the investment process, potentially eliminating risks, or, you know, is that the wrong assumption to make? So if we could hear a little bit more about that, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm happy to comment on it. So, you know, I would say I was very interested in artificial intelligence before it was cool. So my master's at the University of Minnesota, I did a bunch of work on artificial intelligence and early neural networks. Back then you didn't have the compute power to run these things. There was like a massive grid computer they had in the lab up there that you'd have to schedule time on so you could actually run, you know, a model to train your network back in the day. So it's definitely totally different then than it is now, but the principles, the mathematics behind it are all the same. And I think like the way in which you apply it to still hasn't really fully been tapped. There's a lot of things that like people sell AI around, but like what they're really doing with it, I think, and where it's really come to the fore is around stuff like document processing. Like if you think now you can go to the airport, you know, I got off an international flight the other day, facial recognition, right? So I like walked up to the home Department of Homeland Security thing, you know, my mobile passport, like literally touched it, scanned my face, gave me the ticket in like 2 seconds, walked out the gate, right? That's stuff that like machine learning specifically or deep learning has made just very, very easy is like pattern recognition. So it's from your face down to like, you know, when was the last time you actually, you know, really, well, I mean, you think of like scanning your driver's license. You just like went to a doctor the other day, put your driver's license on, it extracts the text out quickly and actually reads everything. So that's a lot of what I find that artificial intelligence has done really good. It's able to train models and actually work on data extraction. The other vector that I would say it has been like really interesting is just the ability to really search out, like, I would say, anomalies. And so, like, the cyber company that I referenced earlier that we did an investment in, Vectra, what they use is they use machine learning to look for anomalies on your network, right? So if you think of, like, your whole infrastructure in AWS, and you think about, like, communication flows back and forth between machines, there are set patterns and set kind of ways that machines talk to each other. And if you have, you know, some sort of nefarious actor in the network, right, the pattern will look different. And so, like, machine learning and AI plays a huge role in, I think, cyberspace and protecting us and protecting people kind of across the board. And so that's something, you know, we find we're definitely looking more into, because the applications there, anomaly detection, exists not only in, you know, deep cyber platforms like Vector that you'd be buying, or, like, you know, various different endpoint, like CrowdStrike, Carbon Black, et cetera. Then if you change it, you look at fraud, right? Like, fraud is another way of consumer, like credit card fraud, banking fraud, et cetera. Once again, it's pattern detection. I spend, I typically have a very set of spending on a daily basis. Like, I spend on the subway about 7 a.m. going to work. You know, I get off, I go to the Amazon store outside of the office, right? So, I mean, you can build my kind of boring life pattern. And if it changes from there, and all of a sudden it's like spending money at like 2 a.m. at a bar, it's probably not me, right? So, like, that's what I think, that's what machine learning has just been, it's great at. It's pattern detection across, like, large swaths of data. And so that's really where I have found it being used, like, significantly well. I don't think there's a lot of, like, interesting risks still around it in terms of, like, you know, like, obviously there's bias in the algorithms, and there's tons of stuff you can read about. There's a lot of, I think, misplaced fear around machine learning and artificial intelligence specifically. Folks kind of expect the Terminator to show up very soon. I don't think that's going to be happening. But, like, you know, there's a lot of interesting fear around it. I think, like, to me, the only thing I'm ever concerned about is, like, you can, like, pollution of data, and that making the models that you're training basically answer incorrectly. Or the other thing would be is, like, bias, right? So, like, the models are just, like, a machine learning model is trained on data, and there's a lot you can inject bias into that in lots of different ways.
Yeah, we'll keep the Terminator and bias away.
Yes, that's right. You just move them off to the side. But I think, like, think of how much easier it's made our lives.
You have a long career in working with computers and technology and investment firms. Why? What's the passion of the mashup sort of between sort of your technology background and why Blackstone? Is there something magical about Blackstone and what you're able to do there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, the most magical thing about this firm is its people. It has nothing to do with technology, nothing to do with, you know, a lot of, like, the concrete kind of elements underneath it. The people here are absolutely amazing. And that's everything from, like, you know, the leadership of the firm with Steve and John down through, like, the various different investing groups through, like, your technology, finance functions, et cetera. Like, it's a year and a half that I've been here. You know, I'm amazed every day that I keep learning. And that's part of what, like, drew me here was I felt that I had, you know, gone a long way from knowledge base from a technology perspective, but I still had lots to learn. The way you do it, I think the way you learn best is, like, partnering up with somebody or working alongside them, like, and solving a problem because you see the way they think, the way they apply their tools, et cetera. And so that's been, like, the biggest thing for me personally was, like, the people. And then, like, from the, like, on the tech side, you know, to me, I think that the industry, like, specifically Blackstone, given how many different sectors we're investing in, how many different businesses we have, it's like, you know, every day I go to work, I can do different things. I can work on an accounting system. I can work on what is, like, our LP web-facing system that, you know, shows folks their statements. I think it was, like, online banking is kind of a way that I typically tell people. It's like, log in, look at your statements, et cetera. I can work on platforms that we build around, like, data science inside of the firm, or I can work on, you know, our credit trading and kind of credit distribution businesses that we have. So it's like every day is a little bit of a different challenge, which makes it fun.
And I think it's cool. You are certainly not dressed like you're in a New York office. And so maybe the best part about being in Florida is you don't have to wear a suit and tie.
Yes, so that is true. But I think a lot of folks in the test, I typically will dress like this on a normal basis. So I do have many suits, but I'm always more comfortable like this.
Yeah, absolutely. No ties in South Florida.
No.
I think I would be dying of sweat if I had a tie on personally.
You've had an amazing journey in everything you've done. Blackstone is starting a new, very exciting, amazing journey in South Florida. I'm curious, as your kind of a twofold question, as your career has evolved, you know, are there other skills that you've really had to double down on in order to get to where you are today? I know probably there's a lot of people like, wow, how do you become the CTO of Blackstone? And also, if you could kind of add some seeds or plant some seeds there in terms of what are you looking for? So if people want to join your team, what are the other skills that you're looking for? And how do we engage with you and Blackstone?
No, he's easy. So like, to me, the biggest skills that I keep doubling down on are not really like technical skills. It's the human interaction skills. So like, I have learned to become like a much better listener. That like, you know, like early in your career, the first thing you always do is like, you want to talk, you're in a meeting, you're like, I want to get my point across, I want to talk, but you don't actually listen. And so that's something that I've consistently worked on throughout my career. I think it's made me better. I think it's like, the other big thing is just like, you know, actually understanding and viewing that, like, you know, what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, right? And then building up a team that augments like what I'm good at and what I'm bad at, and putting people, like hiring people that are good at what I'm bad at, right? And kind of organization building. Like, that's a lot of what I have really worked on over the past, you know, few years. I can still definitely code and do all the rest of the stuff, but like spend more time there. So in terms of what we're looking for down here, so we're looking for, you know, top flight cyber talent, right? So this is everything from folks that are like network security specialists to, you know, you would say like folks that do incident response, you know, I would say across the spectrum, right? We're looking for folks in the cyberspace down here. It's a very strong talent pool down here. Definitely interested. If you're interested, you know, go to blackstone.com. You can go to the jobs site and actually the jobs link and basically apply on there. We have all the jobs listed out there that I'm hiring for. Enterprise technology skills is your classic DevOps skills. So being able to use Terraform and, you know, script stuff across the board to basically build up our infrastructure in AWS, or, you know, configure and install various different systems. Huge need for stuff in that space, down to, you know, like I would say, like your traditional kind of like enterprise tech, like, you know, Windows skills. So working on, you know, kind of the VDI solution, the laptops that we have around here with Windows 10, working on, you know, Apple solutions that we're deploying, you know, being kind of able to actually really work those environments well, definitely looking for that. And then really programmers that exist in the Python space. So we're really looking to kind of standardize on, you know, Python as like the programming language in the forward. You know, it's close. I basically grew up doing C++ and Java. It's a very easy port over if you're one of those individuals to learn to pick up the skill. It looks exactly the same. It's not like Erlang or something else. It's a more interesting language to go off and program in from a syntax perspective, but you can definitely pick it up and kind of come in. So we're looking for broad spectrum Python skills. So if you're interested in finance, you have Python skills, you know, there's definitely a home for you here possibly. And, you know, we'd love to have you, you know, drop your resume in kind of the application bucket.
Awesome. Okay. I love it. So as we are wrapping up the show here, we always like to do a little bit of rapid fire, get to know John a little further. So with the first question, what is the book on your nightstand currently? What are you reading?
So sadly, I don't have a book on my nightstand. I pretty much crash when I go to bed at night. So it's like, you know, put the kids to bed, do a little bit of work, like spend time with my wife, and then crash. So I get up at 5 a.m. to work out. So it's a little hard.
Okay. So what is your most productive time of day?
Most productive time of day is the morning. So I typically am up at 5. I go to the gym. I blast through a little bit of email while I just kind of sit on the couch, put my shoes on and stuff, go to the gym, think about some stuff, get back and kind of knock stuff out there. But I'd say most productive hours are 5 through 11.
Awesome. And so you're getting up at 5, which means what time are you going to bed?
So I go to bed, like typically, as a kid, I would have been like, no, I'm staying up all night. Typically I go to bed about 10:30 or 11.
Okay, great. And where do you go for your news? What do you have a favorite podcast? What's your source of inspiration or information or both?
Yeah, so I actually just like to read a lot. So I don't actually really listen outside of you guys' podcasts. I don't really listen to podcasts. So it's, to me, I don't really have like a ton of time where it's like a continuous amount of time that I could listen to it. And the way my brain works is like, if I'm interrupted, I'm like, what were they talking about? And I go back and I listen to the same segment over and over. hour, but I read a lot. So typically, you know, Apple News has been a big savior for me because I can basically correlate everything together and then kind of blast through it in order. Spend a lot of time on like Wired and TechCrunch, The Register, and like a variety of different like deeper tech articles that you can find out there. Like typically every so often I'll randomly, you know, I would say every so often, every 2-3 weeks, I check out what Amazon's built. And I basically read the specs of like the latest stuff that they're coming out with from services. I do the same thing from like GCP, the same thing from Azure. And it's just a way to, you know, I can't program every single day in my role, but it's a way to like basically stay up on like what the cool stuff is and go off and read that. So that's really what I'm fascinated with.
And then finally, is there a motto, a mantra that you live by that inspires you?
Yep. So, I mean, like, to me, the biggest thing I have learned over my life is like, you know, we is greater than me is kind of the way I always think of it. And so I look at everything as like a team sport. I've played team sports since I was like little. And, you know, I've oscillated between being like, cool, I can be the best player on the team. I want to be the best, blah, 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 blah. But if you don't have other people around you and you don't sometimes play second or third or fourth fiddle and let the great people on the team do the work, like you're never as successful. And so I believe that's fundamentally important in like any business venture as well, is that you have to have the team. There's no unicorn out there. There's no billion-dollar company. That's literally, you know, one person. It's always a team game.
Well, thank you, John, for joining us today. It was an amazing ride with you. And a big thank you to your firm for coming to South Florida and believing in us. I think you made the right choice. I think the goal should be to maybe make Florida the tech central and not New York, not the New York City office for sure. And awesome. Joe, thanks for allowing me to host with you today. BrainStation is doing some awesome things in South Florida. So I continue to look forward to that partnership that we have with you.
Same. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys, for having me. Much appreciated.
Sure. And for those on the call, come to Tech Hub South Florida and join and get involved. We'd love to have you.
Great.
Have a great day.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Our podcast sponsor is Emerge Americas. Each year, global enterprises, disruptive technology, and elite startups are highlighted at Emerge's premier tech event, Connecting the Americas. The event is held in Miami Beach, which to date has hosted organizations from over 40 countries and featured over 250 speakers from around the world. Emerge Americas is transforming South Florida's tech ecosystem by connecting entrepreneurs, investors, lead business executives, and decision makers.